has been 5 years since the Islamic State, or ISIS, was defeated by a U.S.-led military campaign in Syria. But today, nearly 10,000 ISIS fighters remain jailed inside Syrian detention centers. Human rights groups call conditions in the prisons abusive, and local authorities warn that they are a breeding ground for radicalization and could help spark an ISIS revival. Special correspondent Leila Maulana Allen traveled to northeast Syria to meet high security prisoners and the regional forces that are still battling ISIS.
The horrors of ISIS, a threat long past, the world believed. So ISIS-K's devastating March attack on Moscow came out of the blue. But for Middle Eastern governments and civilians who've been warning of the group's resurgence for many months now, it was all but inevitable. Here in northeast Syria, where thousands of ISIS fighters are locked up, unsentenced in crumbling jails, and tens of thousands more ISIS-linked families languish in displacement camps, the Syrian Democratic Forces have been begging their Western allies to address the growing threat.
The international community thinks ISIS has been defeated and there is no risk for them. This kind of thinking has given the chance for ISIS to reorganize themselves. They rebuilt new groups and they began a new strategy to start again.
The vast desert between Hasaka and Deir ez-Zor, the Badia, is one of Syria's most deadly areas. ISIS controlled this territory for several years. The rugged, open terrain here makes it easy for militants to conceal weapons and fighters, harass local farmers for money, and plan operations.
We're on a patrol with the SDF through the lawless desert area leading up to the Iraqi border. There are many villages here where people still support ISIS, and some of them hide sleeper cells.
Whenever there's an alert, the commandos get out to investigate and speak to villagers. Some support ISIS, many others are terrorized by them. They're trying to catch security threats and eliminate them before they can carry out an attack, and to remind everyone who's in charge here. Commander Zinar knows the danger. He was permanently maimed in a 2016 ISIS explosion.
Our goal is to track down ISIS sleeper cells who are attacking and carrying out suicide bombings. We've done a lot of military operations in this area, but still, they're reorganizing themselves.
With so much ground to cover and such a high threat level, more and more militants are slipping through the net. The huge ISIS prison break 2 years ago was staged from these sprawling sands. Dozens of sleeper cells attacked using suicide bombs and armed trucks. 1,000 prisoners escaped, over 100 were never recaptured, and 120 SDF officers and local civilians were killed. The attack ended after 10 days, only thanks to coalition airstrikes. Local authorities warn they couldn't defeat another escape attempt alone if US forces leave Syria. Nuruddin Berham is a high-security prisoner at Al-Sinah. We were given rare access to speak with him before the Moscow attack. A militant jihadist to his core, he's been joining up with Islamist militias to fight Western ideology since he traveled to Pakistan to support Osama bin Laden in the 90s. Originally Jordanian, the rest of his family are American citizens, and he claims he traveled to the US regularly on visas until the mid-2000s. In Syria, he signed up with ISIS as a suicide bomber, but was captured.
I was waiting for my turn and eagerly. So it didn't happen. Most of the brothers, if we were outside of this prison, I'm not going to tell that if I'm able to make every minute a martyrdom operation, I will do it every second.
Berham was at the forefront of the prison break, handing weapons to other inmates. He says the prisoners managed to smuggle in weapons and mobile phones to receive instructions from the attackers outside.
The plan was when we hear the bomb, when we hear the explosion, we have to break the walls and break out. Like 15 or 20 minutes, we were taking control of the whole prison.
Authorities here wouldn't let us see inside the cells. But Ham says the prisoners live in horrendous conditions, often more than 20 to a cell, and with many suffering from fungal infections and tuberculosis. But that lack of oversight also allows them to continue their radicalization, operating a mini Dawleh, Islamic State, unimpeded.
And inside the prison, we were still Dawla. We were still implementing Sharia. We rather die than to live this kind of life. We're fighters.
But Ham says they'll keep trying to break out until they succeed.
You've just told me you want to blow yourself up at any opportunity. You want any opportunity to fight America, to fight this government. How and why could you possibly be released?
It doesn't matter how long we stay in prison. We're not going to change it. This is the 11th time I be in prison, and every time I go back, and every time I go back to fighting.
The prison was destroyed, and the prisoners are now housed in a new facility. But the attack showed that keeping so many dangerous militants in these conditions with limited security forces is unsustainable.
There are thousands of ISIS-linked prisoners being held here in a city of fewer than 450,000 people. Many of those jails are in residential areas. The one just behind me, which holds some of the most dangerous captured ISIS fighters, is just meters from a busy shopping street and children playing in front of their homes.
Mohammed lives on this street. He knows just how real that threat is. His young family was at home when the shooting began, then banging on the front door.
One of them was pointing a gun. The others walked in. They were all dressed in prison uniforms. Then the clashes, shelling, and shooting started. They killed my cousin. They shot him in his head here, and it came out from the other side.
Escaped fighters occupied homes, taking residents hostage as grenades rained down over the narrow streets, beheading several residents who didn't obey them. Mohammed's 5-year-old son Adam hasn't slept through the night since.
My son calls, "Daddy, it's ISIS," in his sleep. "Daddy, will ISIS escape? Will they come again? What have these children done to live this horror? God forbid if they flee the prison again, what will happen to people?"
The Syrian Democratic Forces estimate there are at least 10,000 ISIS fighters still active in the area, and that number is growing. Now, in a speech posted online, ISIS leaders have called on their supporters to plan fresh attacks on cities around the globe. Former US Army Colonel Miles Kaggins was the coalition's spokesman in Iraq and Syria at the height of the battle to defeat ISIS. For him, northeast Syria's overflowing jails are a ticking time bomb.
The world doesn't really want to deal with these 10,000 detainees. President Biden and his administration have followed the policy of the previous administration where nobody really wants to talk much about Syria. The American public in particular does not hear much about ISIS until there's something like a massive attack that happened in Russia. It is important, though, for the world to pay attention to ISIS. There are wealthy individuals who support ISIS's ideology. The scale and type of attacks that they conduct do not require a lot of money, but they're able to get a large effect out of them by having these attacks in highly visible places and recording the attacks and sharing it as propaganda. Propaganda that is designed to inspire other members of ISIS. It's designed to inspire potential recruits.
Officials here are threatening to carry out their own trials if an international tribunal isn't established. But in reality, courts here don't have the jurisdiction to try many of these prisoners. With foreign nations refusing to take back their citizens, fighters sit in wait, plotting their escape. And the groups return to power.
We have to fight to the last drop of our blood. We are more insisting now to fight you, America, and all that is fighting with you. Bi-ibnillah azza wa jal, until it's either us or you guys.
For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Leila Malana Allen in Al Sinaa Prison, northeast Syria.